news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
On this vote, the yeas are 50, the nays are 50, the Senate being equally divided. The vice president votes in the affirmative, and the motion to proceed is agreed to.
Vice President Kamala Harris, in her role as Senate president, broke a 50-50 tie in the Senate Thursday to proceed to debate the House passed $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief reconciliation bill. Then this happened.
I ask consent to dispense with the reading.
Is there an objection?
Madam President.
Senator from Wisconsin.
Reserving the right to object.
Is he allowed?
One thing that...
Is there an objection?
I object.
The objection is heard. The clerk will continue the reading.
As the American Rescue Act of 2021, Section 2, Table of Contents.
Yeah, that's Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, who objected to waiving the reading of the 628-page bill. Earlier, Johnson had hinted that he would be doing this. And then he said, I feel bad for the clerks that are going to have to read it, but it's just important. Oh, please. It was 3:21 p.m. Thursday. 10 hours and 43 minutes later, at 2:04 a.m. Friday morning.
20 U.S.C. 7544A23 and other related activities.
Madam President.
The junior senator from Maryland.
Madam President, I ask unanimous consent that when the Senate completes its business today, it adjourn until 9 a.m. Friday, March 5th, that following the prayer and pledge, the morning hour be deemed expired, the journal of proceedings be approved to date, the time for the two leaders be reserved for their use later in the day, and morning business be closed. Finally, that following morning business, the Senate resume consideration of H.R. 1319, and there be 3 hours of debate remaining, with the time equally divided and controlled between the two managers or their designees, and that it be in order for Senator Sanders to offer the First Amendment.
Is there objection? Without objection.
If there is no further business to come before the Senate, I ask that it stand adjourned under the previous order.
The Senate has adjourned until 9 a.m. this morning.
The Senate then adjourned until 9 a.m. Friday morning to resume consideration of the massive package. What's next? Well, 20 hours of the debate portion of the program. That'll be followed by the Votorama. Yeah, here we go again. And that'll go on for much of the weekend. Basically, senators can introduce any and all amendments that they want to offer. Each amendment gets introduced and is debated for a few minutes. Then members get 10 minutes to vote. Democrats hope to pass the bill this weekend with their very narrow Senate majority. Stay tuned. In cabinet confirmation news, Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska announced on Thursday that she would support Congresswoman Deb Haaland to be Interior Secretary. She said, quote, I have really struggled through this one, how to reconcile an historic nomination with my concerns about an individual's and an administration's conception of what Alaska's future should be. I have decided to support this nomination. And with that, Haaland cleared the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee by a vote of 11-9, Senator Murkowski being the only Republican to vote in her favor. In the wake of Neera Tanden's removal from consideration to be director of the Office of Management and Budget, it's clear that virtually everyone wants Shalonda Young for the role. She's already been nominated to be deputy director of the OMB and is currently undergoing the confirmation process. Among her supporters, 30 prominent Black organizations, including the National Urban League, NAACP, the National Action Network, House Democratic leadership has issued a statement backing her. Even some Senate Republicans like Bill Cassidy, Richard Shelby, Lindsey Graham, and John Kennedy have all voiced their support. Seems the only place that hasn't voiced its support for her to serve as the director is the White House. So far, they've only said that she'll serve as acting OMB director until another nominee has been named. There's more encouraging news when it comes to vaccinations. The pace of coronavirus vaccines has hit an average of 2 million a day in the U.S. for the first time. This according to data released by the CDC on Thursday. And it doubles President Biden's initial goal of 100 million doses delivered in his first 100 days in office. As of Thursday, 54 million people had received at least one dose of the vaccine. And Saturday's approval of Johnson & Johnson's single-shot vaccine for emergency use gave the nation a third vaccine to distribute. More facts are emerging surrounding the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. Troves of emails, texts, photos, and documents relating to the siege have been obtained by the Associated Press, the result of 35 FOIA requests to law enforcement agencies that responded that day. Five people died in the attack, including a police officer. Two other officers killed themselves in the aftermath. There were hundreds of injuries and more than 300 people, including members of extremist groups, Proud Boys and Oath Keepers, have been charged with federal crimes. Federal agents are still investigating, and hundreds more suspects are still at large. Justice Department officials have said they may charge some with sedition. We've also now learned that federal investigators are examining records of communications between members of the mob that attacked the Capitol and members of Congress. The data gathered so far includes indications of contact with lawmakers in the days around January 6th, as well as communications between alleged rioters discussing their associations with members of Congress. Although no names have been named, I think we all have a pretty good idea of which members of Congress they're talking about. Meanwhile, National Guard troops have been at the Capitol since it was attacked on January 6th. Although any trouble at the Capitol on March 4th never materialized, Capitol Police have asked the Pentagon to extend the deployment of the roughly 5,200 National Guard members around Capitol Hill for another few months. The deployment was scheduled to end on March 12th, but intelligence reports indicated that more of these right-wing militia members were plotting further violence linked to a QAnon conspiracy theory that Trump would be inaugurated for a second term on Thursday, March 4th. Again, thankfully, that didn't happen. And as the investigations continue, the dominoes might be getting ready to fall. The FBI on Thursday arrested Federico Klein. He's a former State Department aide who worked on Donald Trump's 2016 presidential campaign. And then after the election, he was hired at the State Department. A federal directory from last summer listed Klein as a special assistant in the Bureau of Western Hemisphere Affairs. This was the first known case of a Trump appointee in connection with the attack. The 40-year-old Klein was taken into custody in Virginia, but the FBI didn't release information on the charges against him. And finally, the New York Times is reporting that top aides to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo rewrote a report written by state health officials last July, removing data on the number of nursing home residents who died in the coronavirus pandemic. At the time, the death toll was more than 9,000. Earlier this year, after New York Attorney General Letitia James released a report saying that the state seriously undercounted the number of nursing home deaths from COVID-19, Cuomo released the complete data. He claimed the number was kept under wraps over fears that the Trump administration may have used it to launch a politically motivated investigation into how New York handled the pandemic in nursing homes. Meanwhile, Cuomo's approval rating has plunged as he faces calls to resign. This after three women accused him of sexual harassment. According to a Quinnipiac poll released Thursday, Cuomo's rating dropped by almost 30 points from his nearly peak approval at the height of the pandemic in New York last year, with the latest poll showing a split of 45% to 46% approval rating. However, 55% of voters said Cuomo should not resign. Only 40% said he should. And when broken down by party, just 21% of Democrats say Cuomo should step down. 59% of all voters said he should not run for re-election in 2022. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.